دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
خوش آمدی دوباره دارم خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز. برای دوستانی که در این قسمت از برنامه به ما ملحق شدن، اعلام میکنم که در خدمت دپیتی چیف آف میشن ایتن وایس هستیم از کنسولیت جنرال کشور اسرائیل و بسیار خوشحالیم که امروز در خدمت ایشون هستیم و به صحبت‌های خودمون به ایشون ادامه میدیم. I wanted to ask you, what is the current status between Israel and the Palestinians? Why haven't we reached peace yet?
You know something, that's an excellent question. I think that ever since Israel was established 73 years ago, 72 actually, we had the yearning to have peace with our neighbors because, you know, imagine those days, all Jews coming from all over the world, especially from Europe after the Holocaust. People wanted to have peace, finally. And we yearned to have that peace. And unfortunately, our neighbors were not that interested because of whatever reasons that I don't think we should dwell into now. But I only hope that someday, real soon, I hope that they will have the brave enough leadership who will be interested in taking the next step and signing a peace treaty with us, because our hand is always extended. And I hope that one day they will do the same and we can all enjoy peace in our region, because I think that the Middle East is an amazing place and we can have so many great things for the benefit of all the peoples and all the nations living there. And we're just waiting for that option.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
ازشون از موقعیت بین فلسطین و اسرائیل پرسیدم و اینکه چرا هنوز نتونستن به صلحی برسن. و ایشون فرمودن که از 73 سال پیش که کشور اسرائیل در اونجا شروع کرد به پا گرفتن، اینها همیشه پشتیبان صلح بودن، خواستار صلح با همسایگان بودن، به خصوص مردمی که اون موقع به اسرائیل مهاجرت می‌کردن از نقاط مختلف دنیا، به خصوص از اروپا، بیشتر اینها از حادثه و فاجعه هولوکاست فرار کرده بودن و دنبال صلح بودن و متاسفن که هنوز نتونستن به این صلح جهانی به این صلح برسن، ولی امیدوار هستن که روزی رهبران فلسطین هم شجاعت اینو داشته باشن که دست صلح و آشتی رو با اینها شیک بکنن و به این صلح برسن. How do you describe the relationship between Iranian people and Israeli people these days?
Well, first of all, I think that we have a lot of commonality. We have a lot of things in common, not just the great food and the love of tradition and the love of our families and our interest to be successful in our lives and to bestow upon our children the best lives we can ever offer them. And even historically speaking, when you look at the relationship, ever since King Cyrus gave Jews the option to go back to the Holy Land, to Israel, and rebuilt it, I think that we had a warm corner in our heart for the Persian people. And these translated over the years, even after Israel was established as a country, we had great relationships with Iran as a country. And it's kind of funny to know, but did you know that Israeli companies helped build the sewage system in Tehran years ago? And I think that currently it's very sad that both of our peoples cannot enjoy and benefit from the core of the relationships that we once had. And I really hope that one day we can be back, we can be friends again as we once were, and let our peoples, you know, benefit from a mutual beneficial relationship.
Very nice. پس ریلیشنشیپ و ارتباط مردم ایران و مردم اسرائیل نه تنها از خیلی نظرها میشه گفت، حتی قضا، فرهنگ و عشقی که به خانواده دارن، موفقیتی که برای بچه هاشون میخوان، یکی هست و خیلی میتونن از این نظر با هم دیگه یکی بودنشون رو مبنایی بذارن برای اینکه ارتباط بهتری با هم داشته باشن. و همچنین اشاره کردن دو مرتبه به اینکه کوروش کبیر، پادشاه سرزمین پرشیا، آزادی برگشتن به سرزمین رو به یهودی داده و اون خودش باعث یک ارتباطی بین مردم اسرائیل و مردم سرزمین ایران ایجاد کرده که پایدار خواهد بود و امیدوار هستند که به زودی بتونن باز ارتباط خوب و دوستانه رو با مردم ایران داشته باشن. I want to ask you about the status of the current Israeli election. It's something that's going on for a long time. Just we hear the news between Prime Minister Netanyahu also Benny Gantz. What's going on exactly? What is the current news?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I think that people need to remember one simple fact. Israel is a democracy. We're lucky to have a very strong democracy because these are the third elections that we had in less than a year, in almost a year, because it was really hard to build a coalition because of the Israeli parliamentarian democratic coalition-based system. But I think that the results we saw a couple of days ago will basically mean that Prime Minister Netanyahu from the Likud party, they won the majority of seats, and they will be given the first option to build a coalition with the other parties, and they have about 45 days. So what we'll see now, basically, we'll see a lot of negotiations between the various parties to try to build a stable coalition and have a functioning government that can, you know, govern. And this is what we're going to see in the next couple of weeks. And it is going to be interesting.
What is the difference between the views of the two of them? What is Prime Minister Netanyahu offering that the other person is...
Well, basically, each party has their own sets of ideals and beliefs according to the specific platforms that they're promoting. And I think that the differences between Likud and Blue and White are not as great as people might think. There are, of course, some minute differences and some bigger differences on various issues. For example, the relationship between religion and the state, because, you know, Israel, we respect religions. And for example, we don't have public transportation on the Saturday because Shabbat, Saturday, is a holy day. And these basically specific laws define the fabric of our culture. So some people want to keep the status quo. Some people want to change it. But as a general rule, I think that both of these parties hold dear the importance of Israel as a thriving democratic Jewish state. And that's for the voters' decision to choose which party to go for.
Very nice. Good to know. Let's talk about tourism and tourist attractions in Israel. Is there a peak season for that?
Well, the great thing about Israel is a very small country. From north to south, we're talking about 450 kilometers, more or less. And it's a very small country that in a matter of days or 2 weeks tops, you can basically tour the entire country. There are so many tourist attractions, all the way from the holy sites in Jerusalem through the Sea of Galilee and various other locations like Beersheba or even Eilat if you want to go and, you know, see and sun and party. And of course, Tel Aviv is an open environment. It's an amazing city, very modern city. So Israel is a combination of the old and the new. And it brings a lot of options for all the tourists. And I'm very proud to say that in the past couple of years, Israel has reached a climax, a peak of the number of tourists coming to visit Israel. Because, as I said, so many great things to see. And the food is also amazing. And I think that opening our gates to the entire people around the world is something that of course, we want to achieve. We want more and more people to come and enjoy and witness what we have made this country.
What season is the most beautiful season? Like, usually spring is a beautiful season, but like winter time.
Yeah, well, you know, winter in Israel is not as cold or harsh, let's say, as in Russia or Canada, where it's extremely cold. I would say even the Israeli winter has some nice perks in it. For example, you know that if you are a bird lover, if you're a nature lover, Israel serves as one of the most important crossroads of migrating birds coming from Africa to Europe. So we see a lot of tourists coming all over the year. All depends what interests them most. If they want to go just to the beach and enjoy the sea, they'll come during summer, during spring. If they enjoy bird watching, if they enjoy nature, then they'll come all over the year. All depends on the peak seasons of bird migrating. And if they're interested in seeing the holy sites, they can come whenever they want because the sites are there. And of course, during the holidays, Christmas and of course the New Year's, these are important dates in Israel.
Very nice. What about opportunities for people who are interested in trading or investment? Is that opportunity a possibility for people?
Of course. I think, you know, Israel is the leading country in the world in so many fields. And people are unaware these days that whether they know it or not, Israel is in their day-to-day life, all the way from the cherry tomatoes they're eating that was developed in Israel in the 80s. To cell phones, which were developed in Israel in the 80s by Motorola Labs, and other technologies, and not just technologies, day-to-day things that were developed in Israel. Currently, Israel has more than 400 international companies that have R&D centers. And imagine for us Israelis how sad it is that we have Walmart offices and Costco offices in Israel, but we don't have Walmarts or Costcos in Israel, just their R&D centers. So a lot of international companies have given their trust in Israel's capability to develop the next thing. Yeah. And I think that this opens a lot to interested parties who want to invest, or not necessarily invest, but have collaborations with Israeli companies. And this is something we see on a day-to-day basis. And we are more than happy to help facilitate these type of collaborations.
So let's say for people who are interested in visiting, or they want to temporarily reside in Israel, let's say for school or business, for any reason, what are the rules and conditions to obtain visa?
First of all, it's extremely easy. All information is available online through the Israeli government website that you can see for foreigners. If they want to come and study, for example, in Israel, you have to register to one of the Israeli universities. And once you get in, you'll be given a special student visa, and you can basically go in. And as a general rule, most countries around the world do not need visas to go into Israel. Some countries do, and if you want to have a visa, go to the Israeli embassy or consulate in the closest place to where you live, apply for the visa, obtain the visa, and go to Israel. It's as simple as that. And we're very open to these type of visits, especially if they're tourists, pilgrimage, even business visas. It's really easy.
And this might be a repetition of the question that I already asked.
Yes.
But I just want to know, there is no limitation for anybody who wants to go visit Israel and see it firsthand, the freedom that you're talking about.
Exactly. If you want to go to visit Israel, of course, you have to stand and adhere to various regulations like most countries do.
Like,
for example, that you have tickets, your flight tickets to Israel and out of Israel, making sure that, you know.
Well, you won't ban somebody because that person is perhaps from certain country, right?
Well, as I said, there's always a way to find to allow people, let's say, for example, Iranians. Okay, if you're from Iran and you want to travel to Israel, it might be a bit challenging. But if you have a good cause, theoretically speaking, we can find a way. For example, you want to participate in a conference and it's an important thing for us. So we can apply a one-time visa for you to enter to Israel and participate in that conference, of course.
So let's actually focus on people who are currently living in Iran and perhaps they want to travel to Israel. There is no embassy in Iran, obviously.
Unfortunately, no.
So what do you suggest to these people?
So in these type of cases, and don't forget that we don't have direct flights between Iran and Israel. So let's say you're from Iran and you want to travel to Israel, it has to be from a third country, either Europe or whatever. So usually what people do, they fly to the most closest place to them or the most interesting place, whether it's Turkey or even Jordan or the places, and they go to the Israeli embassy or consulate and they will apply for the visa. And basically that's how it works, unfortunately.
So
I wish it would be easier, but...
Of course, yeah. But so there's any third country. It doesn't have to be any specific country.
Of course, it's a country that has a diplomatic relationship with Israel.
Very good. دوستان پیشنهاد میکنن که و دعوت میکنن از همگی که برین و این کشور رو ملاقات بکنید از نزدیک. کشور بسیار زیبایی است و بسیار کوچک. یعنی فرمودن که در عرض 2 هفته شما میتونید تمام مناطق این کشور رو برین و از نزدیک مشاهده بکنید و ویزیت بکنید. هم مراکز تاریخی داره و هم مراکزی داره که بسیار متجدد و پیشرفته هست و در واقع هم فعال میشه و هم تماشا. اگر کسی تصمیم بگیره مسافرت بکنه به این کشور، از نظر غذای بسیار خوبی رو آفر میکنن. میتونین با تکنولوژی این کشور آشنا بشید، هم از نظر کشاورزی بسیار جلو هستن، همونطور که گوجه فرنگی های کوچکی رو که این روزه در بازار میبینه در ابتدا اونجا درست شده، و همچنین تکنولوژی های مثل سلفون که واقعا پیشرفته هستن و روز به روز هم دارن پیشرفت های بیشتری رو کسب میکنن. بنابراین در مسافرتتون میتونین با تمام این مراکز آشنا بشین. در ضمن فرمودن که خیلی لازم نیست که فصل خاصی در نظر گرفته بشه. این کشور زمستون‌های خیلی سردی نداره و میتونین حتی در زمستون برین. قسمت‌های مذهبی و تاریخی هم که اصلا مختص فصل خاصی نیست و میشه از همش دیدن کرد. برای اینکه بخواین ویزا کسب بکنین که برین به این کشور، بسیاری از مردم دنیا احتیاجی حتی به کسب ویزا نیست، ولی کشورهایی هستن که حتما لازم هست که این ویزا رو دریافت بکنن. طرز دریافت ویزا بسیار ساده هست، هم میتونن آنلاین روی وبسایت اقدام بکنن و یا اینکه میتونن به یکی از مراکز کنسول اسرائیل در هر کشوری که هستن برن و اونجا تقاضای ویزاشون رو بدن و برن از این کشور زیبا دیدن بکنن. مورد دیگه‌ای که دوست دارم راجبش صحبت بکنم این هست که آیا برنامه‌ای در نظر گرفتن که بتونن بدون اینکه مسافرتی انجام بشه به این کشور، کسی بتونه با فرهنگ این کشور، با صلحی که ازش صحبت کردن که دوست دارن به اون دست پیدا بکنن، با برابری که قائل هستن برای تمام افراد جامعه از هر مذهبی که باشن، از هر چه گروهی که باشن، آیا برنامه‌ای دارن که مردم با این آشنا بشن یا نه؟ So I want to ask you, are there any special programs or events in the future that will help to introduce Israel, the culture, beautiful land, most importantly, the freedom and the equality that we talked about, that you said the government offers to the citizens from different faith, different backgrounds?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great question because not that long ago, actually, this year we celebrated, no, sorry, last year, May 2019, the Eurovision was celebrated in Israel. And basically, we had hundreds of thousands of people coming to Israel from all over the world to celebrate the Eurovision contest. And people, majority of them, that was their first visit to Israel. And they were amazed to see that the land is not what is depicted by media. Media, unfortunately, tends to focus on something that sometimes is negative. But when people come to Israel and see with their own eyes, they're amazed to see that it's a really normal and lively place, that they can enjoy their freedoms no matter who they are and what they are. And these type of events and celebrations, of course, soon we'll be celebrating our Independence Day, and there are so many festivals. And here in Los Angeles, you have a really big, large community of Israeli expats who live here. And actually just go to the valley and you'll feel like you're in Israel. So, of course, all these celebrations here with the food and culture and music and songs are being celebrated not just here, but all over the world where you see Israelis.
About Eurovision.
Yes.
Do you want to explain a little bit more what was it about?
Eurovision, that's a song contest. It's a very old song contest between all the European countries who are competing every year to choose the best song. For example, the group ABBA became very, very famous because of the Eurovision. They won the Eurovision a couple of times, and that's how they became very famous. And other groups in Israel and, of course, other countries. It's a song competition that is being celebrated in Europe. And Israel is a part of it, and we had the pleasure of hosting it.
Before we run out of time, I just want to... You mentioned something about media.
Yes.
My question for you is that you think media is focusing on the negativities and negative sides, or is actually making up these negativities?
I think it's a combination of both, because sometimes we see that, you know, people talk about media, but media is not really a big organization that has no goal. We're talking about people. Mm-hmm. And all you need is one person who hates us, who doesn't mm-hmm. like us, that he will be biased and he will mm-hmm. change the agenda and he will change the story and will lie. And unfortunately, we do see that. So media tend to be more negative, because tell me whenever media publishes something positive. But we hope to, you know, to try to educate the people to rely not just on one media source, but as many, to try to have a better picture, because all media has their own angle.
پیشنهاد میکنن که برای آشنایی با این کشور حتما به مراکز مختلفی مراجعه بکنید. فقط بر اساس گزارشی که یک میدیا به شما میده باوری رو دیولپ نکنید، و اگر که مقدور هست که اصلا برین و این کشور رو از نزدیک مشاهده بکنید. So we are coming to the conclusion of today's program. Actually, I wanted to thank you one more time, both you and Rachel,
for being with us today.
It was really great, and I know that you're very busy, so thank you for dedicating your time to us today.
Thank you for your time.
دوستان عزیز، تا برنامه‌های آینده شما رو به خدای بزرگ می‌سپارم.